In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
It's good to see you all here today on an early, early morning, and some of you even stuck around beyond the Mass. The Mass was the most important thing, so you did the right thing if you stuck around for that part. But if you stick around even just a little bit longer, I'm told that at the end of this, there's a pretty sustaining payoff that you're going to be able to get right there. And I was so moved by the preparation thereof that I didn't want to finish all my preparations for the talks. Thank you so much for that. I look forward to it as well. Today we are going to give this conclusion to what we've been endeavoring during this Marian retreat here at St. Anne's Parish. Thank you to those of you who made it through all three of the sessions that we have, or two so far. You're hopefully going to make it through this one. We have lots of things that we've covered, haven't we? We've gone down into the depths of hell. And from the depths of hell, we rose up to look to Our Lady and ask her to hang down her rescue line to you and me, which is that of her most holy rosary, to draw you and I out, to find the power of the rosary for ourselves, for our world, and particularly for our time when we pray the rosary, speaking about the 15 promises given to Saint Dominic, and as well how we ourselves were able to better pray the rosary. Just through little things taken from the Marian doctor of the church, St. Louis de Montfort, Saint Louis. Today, we have the opportunity to speak about two things. One is the first Friday's Saturday's devotion, the five first Saturdays, and as well the idea of Marian consecration and what that really means to be truly devoted to Our Lady. Now, this one we could spend an entire week or month just going through, just what we're going to experience today. And so you are blessed in one sense because I only had about an hour to prepare this morning. Only had about an hour to prepare. So I think it's only about 15 pages. So we work quickly in whatever time we're given. And so apologize if it's not as well structured, but I really did only have that single hour to be able to prepare. So we'll be going through those things at this time. Now, as a matter of housekeeping, this is the last session. I hope that you've gained something from this. We will be having the blessing of whatever it is that you brought to be blessed. I will do the blessing of all your scapulars, whether they're here in front of us or whether they're with you presently, or your miraculous medals, whether they're on you presently or whether they are here for us before. And I will intend to bless as well. After that, I will do a general blessing of omnibus, of all the things which are there. And I'll do those for each of you, those three blessings. So if you brought anything to be blessed that isn't a rosary and isn't a miraculous medal, it's included in the omnibus blessing, which I will do at the conclusion of it all. You intended, and I intend to bless only the things which you intend to be blessed that can indeed be blessed. Okay, so we're very clear on that, I hope. Now, as a matter of housekeeping, a little bit further, I want to remind you that here is that rosary of intercession that I talked about last night, that I said if you pray this rosary of intercession, it has the spaces for you to be able to fill in various things and just suggestions at the top of it. You can find these things as pretty much all the pamphlets that we've handed out this week at mothersforpriests.org, mothersforpriests.org, Father Frederick Gruber's site, and find out more about even the devotion to Mothers for Priests. If you want to know more about that and more intensely, just invite Father Gruber to come all the way from Pittsburgh to come and do so. He's a great man, and he is willing to spread the devotion to Our Lady anywhere he possibly can. Anywhere he possibly can. So here he is. He is far greater than I. So I would love it if he would come and follow up and correct any errors or any things that I didn't well explain for you. There's this, and as well, here's this new one that we put out for you today, the Militia Immaculata Consecration Prayer. We will begin our session by praying that prayer. So turning to the image of Our Lady, which we have before her, Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Fatima, let us pray this Militia Immaculata Consecration of St. Maximian Kolbe together. O Immaculata, Queen of Heaven and of Earth, refuge of sinners and our most loving Mother, God has willed to entrust the entire order of mercy to you. I, Father Christopher Burnaby,
a repentant sinner,
cast myself at your feet, humbly imploring you to take me with you where I am and have, holy to yourself as your possession and property. Please make of me, of all my powers, soul and body, of my whole life, death and eternity, whatever most pleases you. If it pleases you, use all that I am and have without reserve, holy to accomplish what was said of you. She will crush your head, and you alone have destroyed all heresies in the whole world. Let me be a fit instrument in your immaculate and merciful hands for introducing and increasing your glory to the maximum in all the many strayed and indifferent souls, and thus help extend as far as possible the blessed kingdom of the most sacred heart of Jesus. For wherever you enter, you obtain the grace of conversion and growth in holiness. Since it is through your hands that all graces come to us from the most sacred heart of Jesus, allow me to praise you, O sacred Virgin. Give me strength against your enemies. Let's pray St. Maximin Kolbe's prayer of the Miraculous Medal. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all who do not have recourse to thee, especially the Freemasons, and for all those who commend to thee. Let us pray the ancient prayer to Mary. O Mary, we fly to thy patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions, and in our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers. O glorious and blessed Virgin Mary, make me worthy to praise thee, O Holy Virgin.
Give me strength against thy enemies.
Blessed be God and his saints.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
It looks like our young friend Noah didn't make it today. I was going to ask him to continue on helping me out to make sure that if I did do some boring, that he'd stop me and force me to unbore. But he's not here, so you might be bored at some point.
Is JJ back there? Back there. JJ. Stand up, baby.
Okay. JJ. J-A-Y-J-A-Y? Or letter J, letter J?
Letter J.
Okay. Good. So I'm going to make the same promise to you that I did to young Noah. J-J. What does it stand for? Johnson & Johnson? What is it?
Just Jerry.
J-J. Just Jerry. That makes sense. Just Jerry. Oh, that's so good. So Just Jerry, then. We are going to... If there's any moment where I become boring, so I bore you, if I bore you just Jerry, what I need you to do is to make sure that you raise your hand up high. Can you do that? Yeah, that's great. Raise just one hand. You raise up two hands, I'm going to get real sad because I'm really boring and super bad. So just raise one hand, and then I will have to break for a moment and then give some sort of story. Hopefully it doesn't happen too many times because I didn't prepare any stories. I only had an hour this morning. So, no idea what will come up in those moments. But can I trust you with that? Okay, so if I bore you at any moment, what do? There you go. You raise up your hand. Do you raise it up like this? No, because I'm not going to see it. How high do you raise it? Yeah, right there. Be totally sure. Be totally confident. Totally confident in that way. Excellent. You do that for me, Jerry? Just Jerry? JJ? Okay. Excellent. Let's see what we have to do. Today I'm going to expound for you first the devotion which we are practicing today, the first five Saturdays devotion, and then I will go on to something of Marian consecration. Hopefully, it'll all make sense when we come to the conclusion of the end. So the first Saturday's devotion. That's what we're here to practice today. And the first Saturday's devotion is one of the principal points of the whole of the message of Fatima. The focus of the first Fridays is an urgent need for mankind to offer reparation and to expiate for the many injuries of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that she suffers from the hands of impious and indifferent men. So many of those today. Sometimes we ourselves fall into that category, don't we? Well, on the first five Saturdays, during five consecutive months, this is what Our Lady asked for. She asked the devotion to consist of particularly four practices. The four practices which this devotion consists in is first, going to confession. Going to confession. Secondly, receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. Thirdly, of saying five decades of the Rosary. Then fourthly, of meditating for 15 minutes upon the mysteries of the Rosary. Just Jerry, JJ, how many things do you have to do? Well, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. So you got to be prepared to answer these things. That's why we volunteered you. How many things? You weren't paying attention? Four of them. We'll go over them again. So Jerry, remember, you got to pay attention. Maybe you want to move just slightly over so you can see me, because I'm going to make eye contact with you a lot. Okay? So just Jerry. First one, go to confession. Second one, receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion, the Eucharist, on that day. Thirdly, saying the five decades of the Rosary. And fourthly, meditating for 15 minutes upon any mystery of the Rosary or all the mysteries of the Rosary altogether. And every single one of these things has to be offered with an intention from the heart of making reparation for the sins of blasphemy and ingratitude committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, that's so important. So important, because if you just do these things, you've not actually done what Our Lady asked for. Just to go to confession, just to receive Holy Communion, just to say the five decades of the Rosary, just to meditate 15 minutes upon that, okay, that's great. They're salubrious practices for your soul. They'll help you, but they do not fulfill what Our Lady asked for. She says they must be done with the intention of making reparation to her most sacred heart. You have to have that intention in mind to be able to do so. So what's the history? Where did we get this devotion from? Where did it come from? Does anybody know? Came from Father's Head. No. Where did it come from? It came from Fatima. That's right. This whole thing. We were talking about Fatima during this time. Fatima. You know all about Fatima, don't you? Yeah, you do. You love Fatima. You talk to me about Fatima all the time, right? Talk to me about all the shepherd children. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite one? Who's yours? That's right. I know, it's Jacinta. We share that together, don't we? She's my favorite first Holy Communion. That's right, Felicia. There you are. Okay, so history. During the third apparition of Our Lady on July 13, 1917. Didn't we already talk about that one? July 13, 1917, on the first time we met together for our conferences. That's the same time where it was revealed the visitation of hell when Our Lady took them down there. Well, a lot of things happened. On that day, Our Lady revealed that we should come and ask for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart and to make the reparation of the first five Saturdays and the communion of reparation on that day. She asked for the devotion to occur in 1925 and then asked for the consecration to happen in 1939. And this is what she said. Our Lady said, "Have pity upon the heart of the Most Holy Mother of God, which is covered with thorns and which integrate men. Ingrate men pierce at every moment with no one to make an act of reparation to put them out." That's what Our Lady said. Did you see that, JJ? See that? It's the heart of Mary that is so covered with thorns by ingracious men that pierce it at every moment with no one to make an reparation in order to pull those thorns out of her heart. So when you see the image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, what do you see? It's a crown of thorns that surrounds it. And it's on you and me to make reparation, and when we do so, we are pulling those thorns out of her heart. Pulling those things which are wounding her because we're being wounded by them, as I spoke about in the sermon today. Now, while staying at the house of the Dorotean sisters in Ponte de Vera, Portugal, Sister Lucia received a vision on December 10th, 1925. Earl, did I pronounce that right in Portuguese? No, I didn't. Okay. Well, you got to teach me how to do these things better in Portuguese, okay? It's not my language. So, on December 10, 1925, the Blessed Mother appeared alongside a boy who stood over a luminous cloud, just like you, JJ. She saw an image of a boy who there stood standing over a luminous cloud with the Blessed Mother, and Our Lady rested her hand on the boy's shoulder. Grandma, you can put your hand on your boy's shoulder just so he feels it there. JJ, right there. put your hand on him right there, and appeared alongside him. And there, which he held on the other hand, a pierced heart with thorns around it. Pierced heart and one hand upon the boy who was there. And Sister Lucia heard the boy say, so it'd be just like you saying it, JJ, saying, "Have pity upon the Sacred Heart. Have pity upon the heart of your most holy mother, which is covered with thorns, with which in great men pierce it at every moment, with no one to make an app of reparation in order to pull them out." That's what the boy said. Can you imagine yourself saying that, JJ? I would hope so. To be so close to the Blessed Virgin Mary that you feel her hand upon your shoulder, and you're the one saying, "Make reparation, make my mother Mary whole, make her no longer suffer from ingrate men in this way. Take them out through a reparation." Our Lady expressed her request in the following words, saying, "See, daughter," speaking to Lucia, she said, "See, daughter, my heart, it is surrounded with thorns, with which ingrates pierce me at every moment, with blasphemies and ingratitude. You at least, Lucia, you at least make sure to console me and to announce that all those who for 5 months on the first 5 Saturdays go to confession, receive communion, say the 5 decades of the rosary, and keep for me 15 minutes meditating upon the rosary with the purpose of making reparation to me, that I will promise to assist them at the very hour of their death with all the graces necessary for the salvation of their souls." End quotation. Our Lady spoke this on December 10th, 1925. How many things, JJ, do you got to do? That's right, 4. That's right, 4 things that you got to do in that way. And so why is it? Why do you think it's 5 for Saturdays? To do the devotion to the Sacred Heart, what do you have to do?
9
First Fridays. So why is it 5? Why isn't it even 7? 7 is a perfect number. What's particular about 5? That's a strange number, isn't it? 5 First Saturdays. Well, why do you think it is 5 First Saturdays? Don't worry, I'm asking the question. I'm going to answer it. So don't be on the edge of your seat there. Here we are, 5 First Saturdays. Sister Lucia's confessor questioned her about the reason for 5 First Saturdays, asking, and she answered in the letter dated June 12, 1930, because she had a conversation with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is what he said to her. After telling him about the vision, the reasons Jesus gave were as follows, saying, "The 5 First Saturdays correspond to the 5 kinds of offenses and blasphemies committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary." What are those 5 offenses? Do you know? Here are the 5 offenses. Pay attention, JJ. 1, blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception. Blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception. That's the first one. 2, blasphemies against her perpetual virginity. 3, blasphemies against her divine maternity, at the same time a refusal to accept her as the mother of all men, all mankind. 4, the 4th one is instilling indifference, scorn, and even hatred toward the Immaculate Mother within the hearts of children. The hearts of children. That those who instruct children in this way to have indifference, scorn, and even hatred toward the Immaculate Mother. We see that in so many non-Catholic churches, don't we? Sadly, we see it even among Catholic families. Fifthly, we find that the 5th one is direct insults against her sacred images. Against her sacred images. Do you know of any of those times when Our Lady's images were directly insulted? I'm going to guarantee you something right now, and that's why you need to pray. You should be praying maybe right now as I'm giving this talk right now. This weekend, all across the United States, you are going to find many, many of these blasphemies occurring. And so it is incumbent upon you and me today to make reparation for those things that are going to happen today and tomorrow, and maybe throughout the rest of this upcoming week, and maybe beyond, that are going to be the images of Our Lady assaulted. Particularly, you're going to see them assault the image of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, and you're going to find that they also do indignities against Our Lady of Guadalupe during this time. You're going to see that. Look for the news and pay attention to the Catholic outlets. This is a prophecy, but it is exactly true. You're going to find it. And so it is on you and I to make sure that we don't. What do we know? One of the greatest images of the whole of the world is the image of Our Lady Chistola. Right there, Our Lady of Jasna Góra, there in Czestochowa, there in Poland. What you find there is a beautiful image of Our Lady that goes back many, many centuries. I didn't write about it, so I didn't have time to prepare very much this morning. So in that image, what happened is that the soldiers came and stormed the church in which this image was. And to do grave blasphemies against it, what they did is they went there and saw this image there, and some spit on it, some threw things at it, some splattered it with other sorts of vile contents. And then one man, in order to show that he himself was not bound by this, by anything of holy religion, sought the soldier to take his sword and to slash her face. And to slash her face in that way. And so she has 3 slashes against her face. And unfortunately, because I didn't look it up before I came here, I can't remember what happened to him. But it was something not so great, which is why he stepped back and why the image remained at that time, slashing her in those faces. And so the image is saved and preserved and enshrined with all sorts of jewels to this day, representing the horrors which the Polish people have gone through in all the struggles which they've had throughout time. And it is Our Lady who has always been their protector. She who is a darker woman, made dark by the difficulties and hardships of time that have passed upon that image, and as well that she is one who suffers much, who has been slashed and slashed and slashed. So too is the Polish people trying to remain true to Christ throughout the centuries have been slashed and slashed and slashed, and yet they still remain to be one of the most strongest Catholic strongholds in the entirety of the world. Why it's my favorite country in the entire of the world. Because they remain strong to their faith and resist the pressures of both capitalism and communism, both of which seek to lessen the belief in the supernatural and place it totally upon the material. So what do we do with a relation to this? Isn't this a hard thing to be able to do, to be able to make all the promises that Our Lady does? What happens if you happen to be in a place where there is no first Saturday Mass? Can you do it? What if you're in a place where you have no one to go to confession to because priests refuse to hear your confessions because they're told to from on high that it's too dangerous to hear confessions, that they might some way contract an illness or give it to you? What do you do? What do you do in a situation that's like that where you're no longer able to do so? Well, this is something that's not unthought of by Lucia, nor by our Lord himself. Sister Lucia asked because she heard of the difficulties even in her day where they'd have in making these very same things in what we would think would be a glorious time to be Catholic. Our Lord responded to her and said this, relaxing the rules, he said to her, confession may be done on any other day other than the first Saturdays, so that as long as one receives worthily and has the intention of making reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. When you go to confession, you actually have to intend to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you did not make intention when you went to confession to make reparation for the Immaculate Heart of Mary, it counts not. But our Lord grants an indulgence here. He says, even if one forgets to make the intention, it may be done on the next confession, taking advantage of the first occasion to go and to confess. So when you realize that you forgot to make that intention, then you yourself can go ahead and make it in your next confession too. But it needs to be pretty soon to be able to do so. Okay? So he allows that as well. And the second thing, Sister Lucia also clarified that it's not necessary to meditate on all the mysteries of the rosary on each first Saturday, but one or even several may suffice. Just to spend that 15 minutes. You don't have to do it on every single one. You can spend the entirety just on one, just delve deeper into it. And what reason do we have then, if it is made so easy by our Lord, and he grants indulgences and makes it easier for you and me to make this devotion of a spirit of reparation with the Immaculate Heart of Mary that she urgently asks for? She asks for it. It's not Father Burnaby asking you for it. You can cast my desires aside. They're not important. But Our Lady asks for it. She's our mother, my mother and yours. She's the one who bears you and I in sorrow and in joy, just as Ben prayed for us in that beautiful hymnody that he gave us both at the beginning, throughout the Mass, and at its conclusion. Now, how can I make sure that I make that act of reparation and live a life of reparation? Well, I'm going to share with you something that I had when I was just beginning to live out the Catholic faith. This was in the year 2008, 2007 or 2008, when I was a youth minister in Los Alamos there. And being that youth minister, I had a beautiful woman who I'll allow be unnamed because I know she doesn't want to be named in that way. And she doesn't really think that she had a big impact on me, but it's a real, it's, she did it far more than most to be able to make me a priest. Now, what she did was every morning when we'd gather with kids or gather together, she would teach, she would have them pray a prayer, a morning offering. And so because I had to be there with them, and I absorbed it very quickly and made it a part of everything. So upon arising, it's the first thing that ejects out of my mouth usually. What is that prayer?
Hail Mary?
Not the Hail Mary, although I do that a lot. This is an act of consecration to Our Lady, a morning offer. Pray. Man, why am I forgetting it now? I've got to write these things down. I pray it every day, and see, I come to it right here. I offer you this day and reparate all its sufferings and its joys, its sorrows and its sufferings, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in reparation for my sins, for the benefit of my associates, for the conversion of poor sinners in Russia. It's in there. It says for in reparation for all the blasphemies against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as well. And so I begin that, and I desire to gain. And it concludes by saying, I desire to gain all indulgences associated with my thoughts and my works and my actions of this day. Okay, so it's a beautiful little thing. A few words right there. You can look it up and find actually how it's worded. I screwed it up for you all, but that's the way it's supposed to go. And when you make that prayer, when you make that prayer at the beginning of your day, then that allows you to do everything in reparation for Our Lady. It gives you a good start in being able to do so, so that when you engage in those activities, you can be reminded of it because it was the first thing ejected from your soul unto God. It sets the pattern of the day. Now, why is devotion so necessary within our day? Why is this first Friday's or first Saturday's devotion so necessary for you and I to do in this our time? Remember, each night we talked about why is it important for us in these times specifically in order to be able to engage in the things that we've spoken about. I don't need to tell you, right? We've spoken about it already to some degree, but the culture of vice and sin is strong in these our times. What do we look out in the world? We see the greatest horror of the present life is what our present day is, the horror of abortion going throughout our world. So it is on you and I that we have to do something. We're praying strongly that the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS, does what is right and stands firm to what is true. It listens not to the demonic shrieking of those leftists there who desire their sacrament, the sacrament of Satan himself, which is abortion, to be perpetrated and perpetuated throughout the world. And when it is finally struck down, God willing, what will you and I be able to have? Be able hold those who are in our state here in New Mexico accountable for making sure that it is no longer a part of our state, to make sure that our governor changes her heart or changes her position within our government, that those who are representatives either change their heart or change their status as serving us because they do not serve our public good if they offer our children on the altar of Molech to be destroyed in this way. Life must be protected from its very conception all the way into its natural death. The great horror of abortion in our land cries out to God for justice. Blasphemies which occur all throughout, where the name of our Lord, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, all of them are blasphemed each and every day. We hear it going on there. You and I, when we hear those words, should be praying the divine praises within our own soul to make reparation in that. We have the horrors of drug abuse, of pornography that goes throughout and corrupts the souls of so many men and women within our world. We have the great horror of abortion, and or rather of divorce and of bad marriages that people enter into. You and I need to speak against divorce and fight for marriages to the best of our ability so that we can hold families together even within grave difficulty. God hates divorce. He does not hate the divorced. But he hates the actual act of divorce, because what God has joined together, it says, let no man separate, even those who are involved. These are the words of God, a tough teaching. To pray for against religious indifference that goes around. Well, the worst thing, I would rather have everybody in the whole United States hate God. Hate God and speak against God and violently move against the church than deal with what we're dealing with now, which is an indifference toward the reality of God. Does it even matter? No, that is far worse. Far worse. If you want to know more about that, I didn't write it down, but go through it. Read the poem that was written a century ago, called Jesus Went to Birmingham. Jesus Went to Birmingham. And it's all about this. Read the beautiful poem that was written there. Jesus went to Birmingham, and when he went to Birmingham, not Alabama, Birmingham, England, how he was met with indifference, and instead of dying upon a cross, he died crumpled up in an alleyway because nobody cared to even react against his claims that he is God. That is worse. That is worse. The advances of the homosexual agenda and the gender bending that is going on, we see that it's corrupting our youth, leading them to not have a recognition of God. And as we spoke about last week, Jacinta told us that the reason why most souls fall into heaven from anything else is what? Sins against the sixth commandment. Sins against the sixth commandment. Not because they're the worst, but because they are indeed mortal sins, and they do lead us away from God, keep us trapped within our fleshly existence, rather than raising our souls to God who gives us strength. Now, these things and all these plagues deeply cut into the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These are the thorns which you and I need to remove from her. So we must console Our Lady in the midst of all these insults and injuries to her and to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And she asks reparation. She pleads for our prayers. She hopes that we would make an amendment of life within ourselves. So let us listen to her maternal pleas and ask to make atonement and in for the ingratitude of so many men. These first Fridays, these first Saturdays devotions are here to do what? To stimulate within you and within me a spirit of reparation. And when we make these first Saturday devotions, it will instill within you and I a tender love for the holy sacraments, firstly of confession, which restores us to grace, and then the Eucharist, which keeps us within the grace, nourished by God Himself. What these first Saturday devotions will do is they nurture a holy affection for the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Rosary. And above all, it is an excellent help for us to maintain ourselves within the state of grace. The one thing that we meditated upon yesterday at the conclusion of the conference was what? One thing, the most important thing that you and I can do to make sure that we pray the rosary well and are not called and pulled away in all sorts of distraction is what? To maintain. That's right. Purity of heart. Purity of heart. Got to maintain, JJ, purity of heart to be able to make sure that your prayers are all the greater and heard by God, and that you and I can make strides from perfection one step to one step, as the scriptures speak about, to move from one form of glory unto the other form of glory, to move into those heavenly realms. Now, even if you are totally surrounded in the daily spiritual battles against worldliness and all the pressures that bear down upon you, which certainly do in each one of your lives and even within mine as a priest, all these things, all these pressures bear upon you, even if the entirety of the weight of the world has fallen upon your shoulders and you feel it pressing in at every side, the constant assaults that you receive from your own erring flesh that is constantly wanting to go after things which are illicit goods, even if you are attacked and feel powerless against the relentless barrages of the devil and his minions which seek to prowl about the world, making the ruin of your soul, it is this spirit of reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary that will safeguard your soul. You know this, not because Father Burnaby promises it. His promises are no good, but because Our Lady promises it. And anything which she promises, she is already at work about. All you have to do is cling to her. As she spoke when she went and visited Saint Juan Diego, she said, "Are you not my son? Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not found here within the crossing of my arms, within the hollow of my mantle? You have no need to fear this illness or any other thing which is sharp or painful. It will not end in death. I am already working about its healing and curation." That's what Our Lady speaks. Not just there in the 1500s to a poor Indio, to you and to me. To you and to me in this day. That's the first Friday's, the first Saturday's devotion. Now I ask you, we don't have to, but do you wish me to talk to you about true devotion and consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Do you want that or not? JJ, do you want it?
It's up to JJ.
Do we want to go into those things? I don't know, I couldn't hear.
Yes.
It was a no and then a yes? Okay, grinning from ear to ear. Not sure, JJ. You gotta use your hand though. If I'm boring you, okay? I really meant that. That wasn't just joking. So I want to share with you something from these are meditations really taken from Saint Louis de Montfort, because he is the Marian doctor and he's the one on which the greatest corpus of Marian consecration is founded upon. So I want to give you something from the secret of Mary. The secret of Mary, he speaks about it in Numbers 23 through 24. These are his words. He says, if we could go up to God and be united with him, we must use the same means that he used to come down to us and to be made man and to impart unto us his graces. This means is a true devotion to our Blessed Lady. There are several true devotions to Our Lady, and here I do not speak of those which are false. First kind of true devotion consists in fulfilling our Christian duties, avoiding mortal sin, and acting more out of love than of fear, praying to Our Lady now and then and honoring her as the Mother of God, yet without any special devotion to her. I would like to posit this, that probably most of you in this room fall into that category, that first one. But there's a second one that is deeper and more profound. And he says the second one consists in entertaining for Our Lady more perfect feelings of esteem and of love and of confidence and veneration. And what this confidence and veneration does, it leads us to join confraternities of the Holy Rosary, of the Scapular, to join the Legion of Mary, which all of you should do, to join the Legion of Mary, to recite the 5 or 15 decades of the Most Holy Rosary, to honor Mary's images, to go and visit her altars, to publish her praises, to enroll herself in her modalities. And I would say to place flowers upon her altars on particular Saturdays out of a pure love for Mary. St. Louis de Montfort says, this is good. This devotion is good. It is holy and it is absolutely praiseworthy if we keep ourselves free from sin. But, there's always a but it is not so perfect as the neck, nor is so efficient for serving our soul, severing our soul, cutting them off from creatures and from worldliness, and attaching ourselves in order to be united perfectly to Jesus Christ. JJ, do you want to be perfectly united to Jesus Christ? That's right. And do you know what it means to be perfectly united to Jesus Christ? That's what the saints are like. God has called you, JJ, just Jerry, to be a saint. I'd love to see that someday, to have a holy card that was right here that said, what here? It's got a picture of you in some devout pose in some sort of way, and it says, just Jerry of the South Valley. Just Jerry of the South Valley. Saint. Saint Just Jerry, JJ. That'd be great. Think we could work that out? Ask Our Lady. That's what she wants of you too. Now here we go into this third, and it is the most perfect form. The third devotion to Our Lady, says St. Louis de Montfort, is known and practiced by but very few persons. It is this, that I am about to disclose to you, O predestinate soul, soul that is headed toward heaven. It consists in giving oneself entirely as a slave to Mary, to Jesus, through Mary, and after that to do all that we do through Mary, with Mary, in Mary, and for Mary. We should choose a special feast on which to give and to consecrate the sacrifice to Mary voluntarily, lovingly, and without constraint. Entirely we give ourselves to her and without reserve of anything. Without reserve. We give her our body and our soul. We have to assign to her our exterior property, such as our house, our family, and yes, our income, and also all of our interior and spiritual possessions, namely our merits, our graces, our virtues, and our satisfactions. Our satisfactions. That's what true devotion to Our Lady looks like. It's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's very radical and hardcore. You follow that, JJ? But you also yawn, so I got to tell a story, right? Okay, well, let's tell you a story. This is an embarrassing story for me, but it tells you about who I am, and I apologize for myself. Those who are my directees know what they have to deal with. Pray for them in a special way. So what we do, when I was first entering into the seminary, when I was first able to come back from Rome, to come back to here, the United States, to finally see my mother for the first time in 2 whole years, where I was ripped from her at an instant because an alarm didn't go off and I just barely made my flight to get to Rome. So I gave her a single kiss and a single 3-second hug before I had to run out the door and be ripped from her arms. The Archbishop, in his love and compassion for my own dear mother, said, I will send you as far away from her as possible. Go to Portalis, the very corner of the diocese. You cannot get further. You cannot get further while staying within the Archdiocese of Santa Fe than going to Portalis. It is true. But I went there readily. Okay, this is good. This is something of detaching myself from my family, detaching myself from all things, but remaining just for God. And what happened on three occasions, just driving out there, the car that I was lent, which was my sister's old some Cabernet or something like that, I can't remember what it was, some sort of foreign car, it broke down three times. Broke down three times just driving there, And I never had a car the entire time I was there, which was better, Great detachment and having to rely upon the goodness of God and His people who were there. Portales always holds a special place in my heart because of that. And so what happened there in those days, on the last day that I was there in Portales, the last opportunity that I had to be able to impart anything to them, I met two young ladies, two young twins, two girls. And they, apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently they came to talks that I gave on the maps that were there. They came to one each, not the same one, mind you, but each of them came a different night with their mother. And so meeting them, what I thought for the first time, my first real interaction with them in the last moment, for 30 minutes after the last mass that I had there, where I was going to depart back and finally get to spend time with my mother here at the end of the summer in August, just for a week or two before I had to go back to Rome again. Then these young ladies met me, and they were on fire for the Lord and just turning to the Lord. And somehow we exchanged addresses in some sort of way, so they found me on the Facebook, which some of you are watching the stream on right now. And through that, they began interacting with me, these college students. And they began sharing with me the depths of their souls. Now, mind you, I have no idea who they are. I just had those 30 minutes with them and certainly could not tell them apart from one another, for they are identical twins. To this day, I'm not sure which one was which. I can tell you them now, but I did not know at that time. And what they shared with me back and forth, the blessings that they were experiencing within their souls, and I've helped them out through those various things, commenting on them as an older brother in Christ. Well, one of these particular ones, won't name her, but she was one of them. What she interacted with me, and I shared something with her, that she said, "Oh, Father," I wasn't a priest in there, but I'm going to call myself Father, because I don't like talking to myself as not Father. So, Father, here you are. I'm about to consecrate myself to our Lord Jesus Christ through the pattern of Mary, holy slavery to her, according to St. Louis de Montfort. This is exactly what we're talking about, right, JJ? St. Louis de Montfort, consecration, totally consecrating herself to her. So excited about her, so excited about doing this. I love it. I'm learning so much about the relationship to Our Lady, just expounding her gushing female soul on how great God is and how great Our Lady is. And when she was telling it, she used to always come to me and say, Father, I'm offering my Holy Communion for you. Father, I'm offering my rosary for you. Father, I'm offering my mass for you. Father, I'm offering this prayer for you or that prayer for you. She'd tell me this all the time, going back and forth, beautiful things of her love for me. And so what did I do when she told me that she was so excited to be able to consecrate herself to holy slavery and Our Lady? Quoting this very passage that I just read for you here, that you have to give everything to Our Lady. I said, you know, blank, my name. If you really give yourself to this devotion, it means that you no longer have possession of any of your merits. You no longer have possession of any of your graces. That you have no longer have any possession of any of your virtues. You no longer can assign to anybody else your satisfactions which you offer. Nothing can you ever say that you offer these prayers for anybody else ever again. Do you know that? They all belong to Our Lady. They belong to her to distribute as she sees fit. Not as you see fit. And so from now on, if you go through with this name, then you are going to have to say, if Mary wills, then I offer this for you. If Mary desires, then I desire it to be assigned to you. If it's in accordance with her will, then you can receive it in this way. But never again can you ever assign any of your goodness, your prayers, the things which you yourself earn or merit to anyone. They belong totally to you. And when I told her that, what do you think she did? She said, oh, yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, great. I'm so excited about this. This is good. Tell you what, she didn't respond to me for about a month and a half. Didn't respond, and rightly so. I mean, that was a bit of a jerk thing to do, right? Here she is excited, and I just hit her hard with the reality of this thing. She didn't talk to me for a month and a half. And then after that, you know what she did? She began saying, well, Father, I just prayed the rosary, and if Our Lady intends, I'm offering it for you. Oh, Father, here I am. I went to Holy Communion today. If Our Lady wishes it, I'm offering it for you at this time. And it changed, began changing everything about her. I was super hardcore. I should not have been there. I do penance for that to this very day. And every time I see her, I hang my head low and I remind her of that very fact that she has to pray for me that I won't be so rough in that way. But that's the way I think. It's all or nothing, right? It's all or nothing. It has to be in that way. JJ, as men, we're like that, aren't we? We're either all for our team or we're not. We give ourselves totally into our sports activities or we don't. That's a very masculine trait to be able to do so. We don't go by half measures. We go by total measures in that way. And so it was in this case. So if I'm a little bit too harsh with you, just know that you're not the first one. I'm trying, but I want to totally belong to the Lord the best that I can in these ways. And I've got so far to go. We doing good there, JJ? Okay. So let's get back to what we said here. Okay. True devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, numbers 103 through 110, speaks about the marks of authentic devotion to Our Lady. What are these? She says, first, true devotion to Our Lady is first interior. It comes from within the mind and the heart and follows from the esteem with which we hold her and high regard that we have of her greatness and we love the love that we bear for her. But secondly, it is something which is trustful. That is to say, it fills us with the confidence of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the confidence that a child has for its own loving mother. It prompts us to go to her in every need, a body and soul with great simplicity, but true affection. Even more than that, thirdly, true devotion to Our Lady is that which leads us to avoid sin and to imitate the virtues of Mary. Her 10 principal virtues, which are these? 10 principal virtues, here they are. They are a deep humility. They are a lively faith. They are a blind obedience to whatever it is that God desires, to an unceasing prayer, a constant self-denial, a surpassing purity, an ardent love, a heroic patience, an angelic kindness, and to a heavenly wisdom. Fourthly, true devotion to Our Lady is constant. It doesn't go back and forth and back and forth. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. True devotion strengthens us in our desire to do good and prevents us from giving up our devotional practices too easily. It gives us courage to oppose the fashions and maxims of this present passing world, the vexations of the unruly inclinations of our flesh, and the temptations of the devil. Thus, a person truly devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary is not changeable. Person who is truly devoted to Our Lady is not fretful or timid in any way. If you fret, if you have temerity within your life, you do not yet attain to true devotion to Our Lady. She conquers those things in you and in me. Fifth, true devotion to Mary is disinterested, meaning this, that it inspires us to seek God and God alone in His Blessed Mother and not within ourselves. It is the true subject of Mary that does not serve this illustrious queen for selfish gain so that I might get something out of it. But he does so not even for his own temporal or eternal well-being, but simply and solely because she has the right to be served, and God and her alone. That's how radical this devotion is. Now, true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary has a nature of perfect devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary or perfect consecration to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so skipping number 120, I'll just go to 121 and say this, that this devotion consists not in giving oneself entirely to Mary in order to belong entirely to Jesus through her. It requires us first to give our body with all its senses and members over to her, to give our soul with all the faculties of our interior being, our soul, to her. Thirdly, to present our material possessions and all that we shall acquire in the future to lay them in our hands. And fourthly, all of our interior and spiritual possessions, that is, as I've already spoken, our merits, our virtues, and our good actions, both of the past and of the present moment and of the future as well. In other words, what do we do in this devotion? What we do is we give her all that we possess, both in our natural life as well as in our spiritual life, as well as everything that we shall acquire in future in the order of nature, of grace, and also of heavenly glory. We do this, and we do it without holding anything back, without any reservation, not even of a penny or a hair or the smallest good deed. And we give her all eternity without claiming or expecting in return for our offering and our service any other reward other than the honor of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ through her service, and through Mary, in Mary, and even through our mother, were we not, in fact, as always she is, even though as though she wasn't, the most generous and appreciative of all of God's creatures. This is what real devotion is. Now we've hit just on 50 minutes. Do we go further or do we stop?
Got more?
I do, but I could always have them.
I don't know what everybody getting at. Okay, we're ready.
We're ready to stop. We're ready to stop. Good. Well, what I had to share for you is, you can write these down if you're taking notes, is to go through the True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, number 152 to 154, about what devotion really looks like. From True Devotion, numbers 213 through 225, the wonderful effects of this devotion. Numbers 12 through 38, speaking about wanting to give ourselves all the more to Our Lady. And finally, numbers 257 through 260, saying what it means to really give oneself to Mary, meaning that we do everything through Mary, that we do everything with Mary, and that we do everything in Mary, and that we do everything for Mary. Those were the things left to cover. Probably would have taken another 40 minutes to be able to cover all those things. So it's good to stop right now. So seeing that these are the things which our Lord and our Lady inspire you and I to do during this time, the first five Fridays devotion, first five Fridays devotion, or first five Saturdays devotion, now they have four practices. Do you remember what they were? They are first, to go to confession. Secondly, to receive Holy Communion on the day. Thirdly, to pray the five decades of the Rosary at least. And fourthly,
meditate
for 15 minutes upon the mysteries of the Rosary, either one singularly or several of them at the same time during that 15-minute period. And everything that you and I do is for naught unless we have what intention within our souls?
Reparation.
To make a spirit of reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for all the blasphemies given against her most holy and immaculate name. And what are the reasons for those five Saturdays? What are the five things we need to make reparation for? It is for blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception. They are for blasphemies against her most holy and unstained perpetual virginity. They are thirdly blasphemies against her divine maternity and all those who don't accept her as the mother of all mankind. Fourthly, for those who instill indifference, scorn, and even hatred toward the Immaculate Mother and children. It says within the scriptures, what? Better for a millstone to be tied around one's neck and for them to be cast headlong into the sea than for them to leave one of these little ones, just like JJ, astray. And fifthly, to make sure that the direct insults against her sacred images are repaired for. Particularly, we are thinking of those that will happen this particular weekend here in the United States by screeching leftists who desire to keep their sacrament of hell, the sacrament of abortion, present within our world. Let's make these acts of reparation, trusting in her through a true and profound devotion to Our Lady, praying as our final and closing prayer of this, the prayer of Our Lady of Victory, which is given to us by Venerable Nelson Baker, a great priest of the early 1900s in Buffalo, New York. Let us pray together. O victorious Lady, Thou who hast sung for such powerful influence with Thy divine Son, in conquering the hardest of hearts, intercede for those for whom we pray, that their hearts, being softened by the ways of divine grace, they may return to the unity of true faith, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray together, pray Our Lady of Divine Love. Hail, O Mother, Queen of the world. You are the mother of fair love. You are the mother of Jesus, the source of all grace, the perfume of every virtue, the mirror of all purity. You are joy in weeping, victory in battle, hope in death. How sweet your name tastes in our mouth. How harmoniously it rings in our ears. What rapture it brings to our hearts. You are the happiness of the suffering, the crown of martyrs, the beauty of virgins. We beg you to guide us after this exile into the possession of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.